Champion players, champion club. Melbourne wins another one.
Yes, it is! Reece Carey brings up her 200 in style.
Oh, Sam Kerr!
For all your sports news, reviews, and interviews, you listen to the Sports Desk here on Sin.
Good morning and welcome to the Sports Desk on Sin 90.7 FM. Of course, you're joined with Michael and Neve is back.
I'm back.
Back from Ararat.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
Thanks. I had a good weekend off.
That's great. That's great. Of course, watching a lot of sport, I imagine.
Look, I was at a music festival.
Oh, beautiful.
Didn't really get a chance.
Did you see a couple of footy players there?
No, but I saw Liz Cambage.
Hey, that's pretty good.
And then on the Monday, on Labor Day, because it's Mad Monday,
yes.
Me and a few others were handballing a footy around the D floor. So,
very good.
Look, I still had a pretty sporty weekend, I saw Liz Cambage, which was really exciting.
That's pretty awesome. She's pretty highbrow, I got to say. So handballs in the mosh pit sounds like a very exciting weekend indeed.
Oh, it was so good.
And talking about exciting weekends, Neve.
Oh, there it is.
The AFLW final round this week, which is incredible. Just how quickly the season's gone. 7 weeks. And at the end of this week, we will know for sure the two grand finalists.
Yeah, it's pretty good. So, like, it's essentially, it's virtually preliminary finals this week.
It is. It's huge.
Which is exciting. Like, it would be a bit boring if all the matches were dead rubber and everything like that. So,
I mean, there's one dead rubber game, but besides that, the other three, well and
it's like prelims with a few to fill the time as
That's
well.
That's right. That's right.
So,
bit of light entertainment.
Yeah. So GWS and Brisbane tonight.
This is a big one.
And then Bulldogs and Melbourne, pardon me, tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night. Adelaide can still technically make it if the results go their way. And I think Brisbane, would also be hoping for a big result against GWS tonight in order to make it as well. So there's probably about four spots. You could say four teams are all in contention to get into the grand final.
Yeah.
Potentially even five. If you put Adelaide into that discussion as well, considering a couple of weeks ago you'd say no, they probably weren't a chance. So it's going to be an exciting round. Last round was very exciting. Last round six was probably one of the best rounds we've seen. It's made this round more and more exciting, I think, because round six, we had a couple of big upsets, and it's just kind of meant now that there are no particular certainties, even with Melbourne getting over Carlton by a fair margin last week.
Yeah, no, it is really, really exciting. I think, as a Bulldogs supporter, I'm a bit annoyed that we dropped that game to GWS because otherwise our spot would be sewn up.
It would be.
And our percentage is so much better than everybody else's.
It is.
Which is not something you can often say about any Bulldog side. But
That's very true. That's very true. In fact, it's 100 times better than the good old ladder bottom leaders, Carlton. So 47.9%. You guys are 148.4. So not too shabby, Neve. Not too shabby at all.
Not shabby. Well, the only thing shabby about it is that we're on the same amount of points.
That's right. That's the frustrating
thing. Like, I mean, it's exciting if you're a neutral supporter.
Yeah.
It's very exciting prospect.
Like myself.
Yeah, very exciting prospect. We're Bulldogs in Melbourne tomorrow night. But as a Bulldogs supporter, I'm cranky and upset and stressed.
That's right. That's right. No one was able to receive your handball from the doggies in the mosh pit, unfortunately.
No.
So, hopefully,
I know, they should get me. I was actually pretty good for some.
I was gonna say, you were able to weave the pack, divert it through the traffic,
and
hit the target. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, great practice for game day. This is what you practice for. You practice in mosh pits, so you just have that precision on game day.
Exactly.
I'm sure the girls do it as well.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely. I think everyone should. I think that's very important. important. But let's move to tonight's game, because this is a huge one. It's got grand final berth written all over it for GWS. And as for Brisbane, a little bit of redemption possibly as well, if results go their way and if they beat the Giants by enough. But this is an important game. It's in Blacktown, so a little bit of a home ground advantage for GWS. They played, I think, in Canberra last week against the Doggies. So they have a lot of versatility as far as all of their grounds are concerned. But wherever they seem to be playing ever since round two, they've been able to win pretty much wherever they go. So they are strong favourites tonight. But Nate, what's your take on this one?
Yeah, I think I'm tipping GWS for this evening. I think they've really come together this year. I think having McConnell as their coach has done a lot.
World of
getting good. In people like Alicia Eva, who is a TAC Cup coach as well, so coaching the under-18s competition, and she was coach of the year for last season. Obviously not doing much this season, given that she's up in Sydney. And she'd be pretty impressive if she could coach him from interstate, but here we are.
Yeah, there you go.
But yeah, so, I mean, having Alicia Eva there, having Cora Staunton, who is arguably, like, the best footballer, I'm putting this in, like, quotations. Arguably the best, like, footballer. She has the best pedigree coming from overseas.
Ireland.
Yes, exactly.
And you're wearing the green colours today, Niamh, to support her her
and
brilliance.
Look, it's the weekend of St. Patrick's Day. Like,
oh, it is! Oh, diddly-dee! It certainly is, yeah. Sorry.
We'll get done for...
Yeah, baked potatoes. Yes. she's not going to listen to the show anymore, I don't
Please.
Think.
Please. Yeah. No Irish people tune in. But, yeah, so she's come...
And
because, like, a lot of the AFLW players haven't been able to play football the whole way through, it's much easier for her to catch up. She knows what she's doing. She's starting to celebrate goals now, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah. So about that snap on the weekend?
Yeah, it's so good.
So casual as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks for coming.
And they've got Tanya Hetherington as well, who is a captain at Diamond Creek in the VFLW for a period of time. So they've had, I think they call them Dad's Army, because they've got, and Courtney Gum as well.
Courtney Gum, 36-year-old.
Yeah, exactly. So they've got all these older players.
Debutant this season, and in the last couple of weeks, she's been in the votes.
Got
my 3 votes this week as well. So, she's sensational. And, yeah, I love the hairstyle as well.
Yeah, she's great, isn't she?
Love it, yeah. And I just think they've got a really good blend of old and, you know, a couple of odd kind of characters, but they all kind of blend really well.
Yeah, did you see Pepper Randall? She's my favourite. Her getting interviewed with the burrito. You can get a t-shirt of that as well from, League Tees. If you go online, you can get a t-shirt with her towel on her head eating a burrito. And she actually has her own one now. A few of the girls from GWS got a Pepper Randall t-shirt, which is... pretty exciting.
Plenty of pepper on that burrito, I think.
Yeah, and she also used to be a really good skateboarder.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's, you know, a lot of them are dual sports. That's her dual sport.
And I'll tell you what, if you have the balance, if you have two burritos in your hand, towel on the head, skateboarding, you know, that'll give you some pretty good balance on game day. We talk about mosh pit stuff, but that's another bit of preparation
that
she does as well. It's all about the burrito, you know. It's all about the burrito balance.
There's actually a place in, like, Fitzroy or something that's, like, the burrito bowl, and it's a burrito restaurant, but it has a skate bowl at the back.
That's awesome.
So maybe Pepper Randall gets down to there.
Shout out to the burrito bowl. Get down. You know, she would have to.
She could have. They could. Anyway, look, I'm going to contact them about getting her as an ambassador. But anyway... they've got Dad's Army, they've got Pepper Randall, they've got heaps of other players who are really good. Alan McConnell's doing a really good job. Heath Shaw apparently is a calming influence.
Which is very hard to believe coming from any member of the Shaw family.
Yeah, well, on, the captain Amanda Fruger on AFL Tonight on Fox Footy, she was like, I think he needs to translate some of his calmness towards us, like to his own teammates in the men's. Because, I mean, there was that game last year where they won and the sound went in the song's pan and he's screaming at I can't remember who it was, but he was screaming at one of the players about something. And so to hear him being like a calming influence is really... really funny. But
really
also, like, Heath Shaw, second best footballer to come out of Diamond Creek.
Oh, here we go. Very good.
I'm talking about me. No, but...
very good.
So, you know, I like Heath Shaw, so it's good to see he's having a
calming influence.
I thought
you were about to say Wangaratta, but, you know...
Where I'm spending my time, but...
Yes, that's right. No, you're obviously number one there, so, you know, we don't have to worry about that too much.
No, don't worry, Heath.
But talking about Heath Shaw, Neve. Did you hear about what Heath Shaw did? A very kind gesture during the week. So pretty much Heath Shaw, after, you know, starting the season zipping two, the Giants, you know, have gone unbeaten. And coming up to this game last week, Shaw's told the team that if they were to beat... if they were to beat the team that they bet last week...
No, it was to beat Collingwood.
To beat Collingwood,
when they were down
in
Melbourne a couple of weeks ago to beat Collingwood, because it's his old club who gave him the flick.
That's correct.
So he was like, if you can beat the people who got rid of me, then I'll buy you all dinner.
Then you'll buy him all dinner. So he was kind of hoping that, that you know, his old side could maybe, you know, get one back on his newer side. But as it turns out, he had to pay for dinner that night, which look, I'm sure he would have gotten a pretty healthy contract from GWS, the old Heath Shaw. So I'm sure he, you know, it wasn't too difficult for him. But judging from the Zomato reviews and the kind of prices per head, we kind of assume that it was in the four digits somewhere. So,
jeez,
yeah, quite a generous gesture from the old Heath. But I just wonder now, Neve, that if they make the grand final, and in fact they win the grand final, where in fact he'll be taking the girls for dinner then. That's what I wonder.
Oh, true.
Maybe burrito bowl.
Pepper Andrew. Get him down to burrito bowl. So that'll be pretty
good.
Yeah,
she'll be ordering up a few burritos, I think. That's for sure. You know, wet the hair beforehand as well. Very good way to do it. But yeah, I'm going to be tipping GWS in this game. I think GWS are going to do very, very well. We've been speaking about him for quite a while now. And, you know, Alan McConnell, it should be mentioned that he was also coach of the Fitzroy before they actually folded. So he was the last coach there, which is pretty historic.
Yeah, he never had a win either. So when they won their first game, GWS, he got his, like, Gatorade shower.
Oh, that's so cute. That's brilliant. It would have, like, dyed his grey hair as well.
Oh, bless him.
Oh, bless him. You know, 40 years worth of experience, and it would be topping on the top of his white hair if he was able to get a grand final victory. It would be excellent, you know, because he has been bereft of some victories, but GWS have certainly been one of the talking points of this season. So it'd be great if they could do it for big old McConnell.
Sounds like
brilliant.
A plan.
Sounds like a plan.
Except against the Bulldogs, who will be playing on Saturday night.
Okay. The Doggies up against Melbourne at Witten Oval. So you are at home this weekend, which is which is a positive. And KB is back.
Yeah, KB's back.
KB.
How good. So she injured her ankle when we lost against Adelaide in tragic circumstances, a la Bulldogs fashion. But she's back this week, which is pretty exciting. And we've done so well, I think, without her, which was surprising given that last season we did so badly without her. So it's very exciting. And she's back, and so is Ash Utree, who is a Rising Star nominee. She's very good last week. She wasn't playing because of injury, not because she is a star. I think she has really good football sense. She's come from playing state league hockey. And I think I mentioned one time as well that she could have been good enough to play with the under-12 state league boys in football. But because there was no under-12 Stanley Gill side, she was not allowed to play with the boys, though, which is a shame. But because she's really good, imagine how good she would have
caused a lot of havoc with the boys as well.
Exactly.
She would have been dominating them.
Yeah, well, maybe that was it. She was too good.
Too good.
It wasn't because she was a girl. But
no,
she's back, which is, like, so good. KB's back. I'm just trying to process this on my head. I'm so excited.
Incredible.
I don't know.
It's incredible. I think it must be mentioned as well that, you know, despite your number one draft pick also going down so early in the season, you've had so many injuries. You look at Carlton's list as well. They had their inspirational skipper go down quite early as well. Ever since then as well, and a lot of their injury woes, they just haven't really been able to, you know, replicate that form they had very early on in the season. But the Bulldogs, on the other hand, at the other end of the spectrum, they've been able to just continue, carry on rewardless. But there may be some rewards at the end of this week if they play well against Melbourne. Melbourne, on the other hand, bring back intercept defender Brianna Jacobson. She's a big in. She often does pretty well in our votes. She's recovered from a quad injury. She's set to return, but the Demons will miss Mal Hickey. Quite a shocking-looking injury last week. But, however, good news for her. She did have a successful surgery on her ACL that she tore against Carlton last weekend. But yeah, a little bit of a shame because she was playing so well up to this stage in the season, but she will be out for the D's.
Yeah, unfortunate. She's such a good player as well.
Mm.
And for her being coming from Darabin, if she misses this whole season, this is Darabin's last year with a licence,
Oh, yes,
in the VFLW, like, chances are they will. Like, a lot of the players will have to go to their AFLW or Lion clubs, and so she probably, I don't know if a lot of them will play, like, I'm not sure who's playing for who this coming season, but pretty much rules her out, I think, of playing for Darabin again, which is pretty sad for her. But the other thing about Mel Hickey is that she has, like, the biggest pipes in all the land. I can't imagine what she's going to look like after she, like, you know, she's obviously doing her rehab for her knee, but, you know, what are you going to do in the meantime? You're going to work on your upper body. She's going to come back looking like the Hulk or something.
I was going to say, she's going to look like an absolute Sherman tank.
She's going to fend people off with such ferocity.
With her index finger.
The G-force just from a small palm. It's going to be amazing.
Falling into the Darabin River.
Exactly. So that's the thing. Well, you got to feel bad for her, but also I think she'll just, like, she's so good and she's played for so long. I think she's got a good head on her shoulders as well, so I think she'll be able to get through it, but still very, very devastating.
Still
and
devastating.
And a much loved player as well on Twitter.
Much loved player.
The
huge,
like,
amount of
grieving
following.
Was
exactly
incredible, but unfortunate for her. But yeah, Bianca Jacobson, in good news, coming back. She's really good.
No, she's going to be
great.
She's
got a good tank, and yeah, you're right. She's a really good intercept defender, so we'll see.
See how she goes.
But, you know, KB's pretty good.
She's pretty good, but hopefully she'll be there for moral support on the weekend, and she can hopefully get the D's up for her being out. Now, also, young midfielder Sarah Lampard has also been named for the Demons to play her first match for the season after recovering from a pre-season hamstring issue as well. Do you know a little bit about Sarah Lampard? No, that's okay. I'm sure she's gonna learn a lot this week from being in that Demons midfield. And I think running alongside Daisy Pearce, she'll learn a lot from that.
I've done my research. Sarah Lampard. She's born on the 7th of July, 1997. Only 5 days older than me.
Yes,
she's from Sunbury. And she's got a basketball background.
Basketball background, there you go.
Basketball background.
A lot of these AFLW players do have dual sporting, very good genes indeed. So, it sounds like she knows, she may have a good leap about her. She may have some good ball skills, some good foot skills as well. So,
you know how important a basketball background is to football.
Very important.
It's so important.
So important. Just look at Scott Pendlebury.
Yeah, I was about to say, Scott Pendlebury, you know, Jake's. Can you imagine what it would be like if some basketballers played football?
It would be amazing.
Amazing, because you need that basketball background.
You do. I've got a cricket background, on the other hand, so as you can imagine, my certain skills in football didn't quite correlate, you know, cricket. But I used to take some pretty decent dives, so that was good. Not to get a free kick, of course, to go for the ball. Naturally. Who are you tipping for this game, Niamh?
I'm going to tip Melbourne because I don't want to jinx the Bulldogs.
Yeah. Okay, good. Look, I'm going to be tipping your team.
Don't jinx it. We play much better when there is no
Demons
expectation.
Demons by 100 points. How about that?
There you go.
But I want the Doggies to win. Alrighty, now we're going to move to Fremantle and Carlton. This is a bit of a dead rubber of sorts because both teams unfortunately can't make the grand final unless all of the favourite teams lose by a fair margin and Fremantle something. Absolutely
shellack. Is it mathematically possible?
I actually don't know if it is. I don't think it is. But a lot to play for this game, of course. I think more or less it's going to be a wooden spoon game. So whoever does lose this one looks most likely to claim the wooden spoon for the first time. How exciting.
Yeah, it's so good. You've got to spice things up. Variety is the spice of life. You've got to have a different wooden spooner each year. Otherwise, some of them end up with all the spoons. And then how's anybody else meant to cook the soup?
That's right.
The soup of life.
Or mix the spaghetti meatballs. Anyway.
Exactly.
Kelly Gibson
is going to play her first game for Fremantle after crossing over from Adelaide last season.
Very interesting.
Kelly Gibson, she's a very good player, but the bit that I remember about her from last season is she lost her mind at an umpire in one game. Like, she just, like, I've never seen such, like...
Wow.
Like, her teammates were trying to calm her down, and it's like they weren't even there. Like, she just, zoned out and went into, like, rage zone. And it was so... I just remember sitting there watching it on TV and be like, Kelly Gibson is nuts.
It says,
I'd like to see if she has, like, I just love her to, like, rage quit on the weekend just for, like, this game to have, you know, a bit of spice.
I was going
to
say, it says hip flexor injury here, but from what you've described, it
sounds
like...
It was a burst blood vessel in her brain.
I was going to say, and maybe she burst some of her voice...
I don't know if there's any footage of it online or something, but she just went off her nuts.
I'm sure there's a couple of GIFs available there that shows the rage.
I'll have a look. We'll chuck them up on the socials.
Chuck them up on the social media stuff as well, you know. Chuck it up on the Twitter. Chuck it up on the good old @sportsdesk Twitter feed. We can put it up there for you lovely listeners out there. Look, I'm personally going to be tipping Fremantle because it is at Fremantle Oval, which has been a really cool venue this season. Hopefully we see more games at the new Optus Oval with, of course, the West Coast Eagle AFLW team coming in next season. So that's going to be very exciting.
Showdown. Oh, they're not coming in next season after. Geelong and North.
But I think if Fremantle do finish last on the ladder, might be beneficial for them, particularly with the West Coast Eagles coming in a couple of years, that they can get some of that fresh WA draft talent as well. So they may be looking at that possibility. But if not, I think Carlton have a lot to show for in this game. I think Taylor Harris would really want to finish the season on a high. There was a lot expected of her this season. Hasn't quite lived up to the hype. She's had some good games, some good patches, but I wouldn't say complete performances. She would probably want to prove, you know, kick maybe 3 or 4 goals in this game, you know, prove her worth to the Carlton Football Club and hopefully have a better season next season.
Yeah, not get suspended and for punching someone in the back of the head.
Yeah, that would also be good. Maybe learn something from Kelly Gibson and be a little bit more disciplined.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Burst a blood vessel, not someone's head.
Exactly. There it is.
There you go. Who are you tipping for this one, Nate?
I am going to tip Fremantle also because I think the Fremantle Oval does them a world of good.
Exactly. And they got very close to beating Adelaide Crows as well last week. There wasn't too much in that game, and they've actually played pretty well this season, Fremantle.
Yeah.
They've dropped off a little bit towards the end, but they've
much
came
better
up
than last season.
Much better than last season. And that's the important thing. Both Fremantle and GWS, both being the bottom of the ladder, they've done very well this season to rise up a little bit more, which has been good. Now Collingwood and Adelaide is the final game of the round. It's going to be played at Olympic Park at 2:35 on Sunday. Adelaide is still a chance to make the grand final, and they have made no changes to their side. So they're pretty confident going into this one. Of course, their superstar, Aaron Phillips, is playing almost at her absolute best. Sealed the game last week, as she casually does. And who are you tipping for this one? This is going to be very intriguing, this game.
Yeah, Collingwood's been playing really well.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go for Collingwood. I just feel like they've got some momentum up.
They do.
The momentum. And they're going to use that momentum to beat Adelaide.
They will.
And they're going to kick more goals, and that's how they're going to win the game. That's my expert analysis.
More than behind.
Yeah.
Because that can happen.
If you can score more points than your opposition, you're a shoo-in to win.
Well, you heard it first here on the Sports Desk from there.
Jot that one down.
There you go. If you've never been to a game of AFLW before, just remember
or
that little thing.
Or any
sporting game, really. I mean, except for maybe boxing, but anything else, really.
Most ball sports.
Lower score wins in golf, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, let's not get into all the technicalities here.
Not a sport.
In any kind of AFL, at least, the highest score wins. Now, I'm probably going to tip Collingwood here as well because they had a really good win against the Brisbane Lions last week. Comprehensive, in fact.
Comprehensive. Pulling out the C word.
Yes. Like Collingwood. Absolutely. So very, very important that Collingwood go out of the season on a high because, you know, they were never really a big chance to make the final, but they have played a lot better than last season. So.
Yeah, much like Fremantle. Yeah,
exactly, really, much like Fremantle. The really bottom tier sides better. Are playing better. So that is what you like to see. What a round. This is going to be a great round.
I'm so excited. Who do you think is going to be in the... What does that mean? Mean that if you've tipped the Bulldogs and GWS... Oh, it'll be Bulldogs and GWS, right? That's your...
I think Bulldogs, GWS.
Okay, well, because of my non-jinxing tip, I have to say Melbourne and GWS. I
will...
Look, I've been praying every night. I've been burning incense down at Witten Oval. I go down there 3 times a day recently and just burn some incense.
There is also a possibility here, Neve, that Western Bulldogs and Melbourne could play off again in the grand final.
Oh, true. If GWS lose, is that
correct,
what it is?
Correct. Yeah. And if Collingwood beat Adelaide, I think the Western Bulldogs in Melbourne, it can be a repeat of the game this round, which could be very interesting indeed. Which would be boring.
And also, look...
It'd be played at the same place as well.
Bulldogs, GWS, pretty, like, you know, they've got the rivalry.
They do.
In the men's.
What's it called? The Great Western?
The Great Western or something. I don't know. All I know is that I hate those
That's
orange.
A shocking name.
Anyway, but, like, I do hate GWS with a burning passion. But not the women's.
Not the
just
women's.
The men's.
The women's are cool.
I had to mute Toby Green on, like, Twitter. Like, the words Toby Green on Twitter when he got his contract extension.
Oh,
I cannot stand to hear anything positive about that man.
I know.
But, look,
you've still got that imagery of what's his name? Dullhouse's face, wasn't
it?
Yeah,
Dullhouse. My beautiful baby boy, Luke Dullhouse, and he got kicked in the head. There's a lot of other things
about Toby Green that are terrible. We could actually do the
anyway, I'm not gonna do that because I'm a good person. But you can Google it, it's all
true. Google it, it's all up there. But yes, it's gonna be a great grand final. Whatever teams make it, but we would like to see Western Bulldogs.
You know who the real
Giants.
Winner is here, Michael?
Who's the real winner?
Football.
Football. I like that. Of course, you're here with Michael and Neve on your Friday morning!
I feel like you stole all my energy and you're using it to yell at me.
Yeah, sorry, Neve. Like, that was directly aimed at you to just try and get you up and about. And you just went, actually, I wanted to do that. I wanted to use that energy.
Yeah.
Now I don't have any for this segment.
Sorry.
Sorry about that, Neve. No, I just got a little bit excited. You know, as you do on a Friday morning in Melbourne, what a fantastic day it is and what a fantastic weekend we are in for, of course. We are a week away from the AFL men's starting up again, which is very, very exciting, you know. A lot of clubs in contention from the grand final. They say 17 teams can win, but I reckon 18 can win, to be honest with you.
Really?
I even back
Gold
in the Gold Coast for winning. Yeah,
North
absolutely.
Melbourne.
North Melbourne. Not with that Guernsey. If they change their Guernsey, they can win the grand final.
You don't like the V?
I don't like the V. I don't know. It's too much like Fremantle's.
Too much like...
It's not. One V more,
it's like
and it'd be
South,
Fremantle
it's
territory.
It's the old, like, VFA...
It is.
...V thing.
Yeah. Oh, look, I've got to say...
The only part I don't like about it is that they put the Mazda logo in a white box over the top of it.
Yeah,
so
I don't know about the white
it.
Box. They could have just blended
graphic
it in.
Graphic design is my passion.
Graphic design. Look, I always get excited at this time of the year, Neve, because, of course, when they release the captain's photos, where the captains get together and have a little bit of a chat about the season... They just hang out.
The
they have a chat, you know.
Boys day.
You remember when we debuted in the TAC? Yeah, that was so much fun. They were the days. You know, just kind of catch up on things. You know, how's the wife going? How are the kids? You know, just kind of catch up. You know, it's a nice
have
time
a bit
of the
a
year.
Chin wag.
One of the things I enjoy is when you see the new Guernseys. You know, a couple of clubs, they change their logos, change the designs of the Guernseys a little bit, and I get a little bit excited. Neve, I don't know why. Maybe it's just like my inner designer flair coming out. I'm not too sure. But it's an exciting time of the year. Of course, all of the players got together on, I think it was Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And they all got together, had a little chat, and gave their predictions for this season and what kind of clubs are looking the goods. Now, Neve, let's run through a couple of these predictions because I know you're a little bit confused about some of the predictions. I know you.
Am I?
You kind of shaking your head going, you know, why aren't the Doggies favourite to win the premiership?
No, I don't want us to be favourites. I want people to underestimate
you
us.
You want to be the
I want to be
underdog.
Dangerously. Yes, I want to be the underdog. I want to be dangerously underestimated. It's what happened last time.
It seemed to work last time.
Exactly. If it's not broken, don't fix it.
That's
what happened. See,
like
last
that.
Year
I
people
like
thought
that.
We were going to be good. We did bad. year before, people thought we'd be going to be bad. We did good.
You did good. There you go.
It's so a proven formula.
Reverse psychology. I like it. I like it. So let's have a look through some of these predictions given by the 18 different captains. Now, which of the other seven clubs apart from your own do you think can make this year's top eight? 17 of the captains said Adelaide, Geelong, GWS, Richmond, Sydney. No real surprises there, Neve?
No. Boring. No.
14 clubs said Port Adelaide. Of course, Port Adelaide during the off-season getting a lot of new recruits in, so not too much of a surprise
there.
Yeah, but
new recruits like Jack Watts.
I know. It's Stephen Motlop. Pretty good. Tom Rockliffe.
My point, Tom Rockliffe, yes.
Tom Rockliffe.
Motlop.
Got him for very
inconsistent.
Cheap.
Jack Watts, inconsistent.
Very true. No, very true. I can't argue with that. I think that's very, very valid. Hey, what about Jack Trengove? Could be a little bit of a dark horse.
One Jay Trengove out, one Jay Trengove in.
Correct, Amondo. Now, 10 of the captains said that Melbourne are going to make the top eight if they don't choke in the last week of the season, of the regular season. All those Melbourne fans out there are probably cursing me for that. My team got a little bit of a mention as well. There's a fair few captains. Oh, no, there's actually not that many captains that said Essendon will make the top eight.
Four,
tied with West Coast, which I reckon is a little bit harsh. Hawthorn, five captains reckon Hawthorn are going to be making the top eight. Mm. I mean, well coached by Clarko, but not too sure about that. Only two captains reckon your team, the Doggies, are going to be making the eight. And only...
Yeah, but that's two captains plus Eastern. So that's three captains.
That's
really.
Three captains.
You just
that's
add right. a captain.
Does Eastern believe that, though?
Yeah, well, it says which teams other than your team.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, as long as Eastern believes it.
That's all I want.
Now, of course, Collingwood and St Kilda at the very bottom there with one captain believing that they can make the top eight. So maybe not too good for them. Now, which other clubs apart from your own is most likely to reach the grand final? Seven believe the GWS Giants will be making the grand final this year. Five believe the two teams that played off in the grand final last year, Richmond and Adelaide, will be making it. And one captain, standalone captain, trailblazing captain, some may say, believes that Sydney will be making the grand final.
There you go.
There you go. So I believe it might be an outsider, but that's just my perspective. Now, who do you think will win the 2018 Brownlow medal? Seven captains believe seven believe Paddy Dangerfield will be up and about. Now, he might be missing round one, so he will have to do some catching up on. Three captains believe Dustin Martin will be winning the Brownlow medal this year. Two believe Nathan Fyfe, and one believe Josh Kennedy, Zach Merritt.
Josh Kennedy from Sydney.
From Sydney, yeah, that's Josh right. Josh P. Kennedy, not Josh.
Josh J.
J.
No.
K.
J. Yeah,
Element
JK.
OP. Yeah. JK. JK Kennedy.
Oh, anyway. I don't even know. Maybe it is Josh J.
Maybe it is Josh.
Yeah, it is Josh J. Because he's JK because of Josh. Anyway.
Anyway, so the Sydney Josh Kennedy will potentially be taking that out. Luke Parker, Rory Sloan, Tom Mitchell, Zachy Merritt are all other players who have been named who could pip the Brownlow medal.
I reckon Fife's in for a good year.
I reckon we're
about to witness the Nathan Fyfe renaissance.
I reckon we might.
Because he died off for a bit there, but he's come back.
I think he's came back. He's looking very strong this season.
I was listening AFL Tonight last night. Lee Montagna was like, oh, no, I think... Because it was like, at their best, who's better, Dangerfield, Martin or Fyfe? Like, whose best is the best? And he was like, oh, no, I still think... He either said Dangerfield or Martin, but I disagreed. I actually, the last couple of things that I've heard Lee Montagna say, I was like, mate,
you cooked.
Yeah. Well, he said that, like, Melbourne, it was going to not be Bulldogs in the grand final. And I was like, whatever. But he said that their best is better. Fife's best is, like, of the third of whatever it was. But I don't think that's, like, he's so much, like, more imposing, I think, than the others. Just because he's so much taller.
He's taller. That's right.
I think, yeah.
Similar to the Bont.
Yes, exactly.
Which is incredible that he isn't mentioned.
He's not mentioned.
With his new hairstyle, which I'm loving.
No, I miss his old hair. I like long hair bond.
I like the
headband.
Give it a chance. Give it a chance.
No, anyway.
You can still do a headband.
I have a lot of opinions on hair. But yeah, I thought that was odd. I think, personally for me, I would, if I was going to out of the top three, I would probably say five. Like, I think also, people keep banging on about, do you know Gary Ablett's going to play for Geelong again?
Yeah, I know.
People keep banging on about that. There's other players in Richmond at Fremantle, because they are a young group, there aren't that many, and like Weller's gone as well, who is potentially going to step up this year. There aren't that many people around five to get the votes instead.
That's correct. I mean, Lachie Neale.
Maths. It's simple maths. Yeah, Lachie true. Lachie Neale.
The Hills do pretty well, but will they be gathering as many votes? Probably not.
Probably not. I think, of match winners. There's always Dangerfield and Selwood.
Daniel Pierce isn't going to be taking votes off.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So there's that sort of thing. You know what I mean? Mm. Whereas at Richmond and Geelong, because they are more like advanced teams, more people to take the votes. With Gary Abbott being back, people keep banging on about Geelong. I saw I think it was Liam Montagna again, and he put Geelong second. I'm coming for you, Joey. Watch out,
Joey.
Yeah. Look, everyone's entitled to their own opinion. He's played football for a very long time. You know, what am I doing in this thing behind a microphone? Just putting my opinion. Anyway, I'd just like to have that disclaimer out there. I know nothing. I don't know anything that I'm talking about. But Geelong,
you know more than Joey.
apparently. Yeah. Geelong, second on top of the ladder. They're like, they've got Gary Ablett back. But what's their problem is that they haven't been kicking enough goals.
No.
Somebody, I thought as well, like, I'm going to spoil one of them. Somebody's tipped Tom Hawkins for the Coleman. I don't understand. Like, I don't want to, like, be rude to the Geelong Football Club.
No,
but
not at all.
I don't understand how a 35-year-old with a hamstring injury is meant to solve all your problems when you haven't got a functioning forward line.
He's 35.
Or 34. What? 34. He's going to turn 35. He's old.
He's an old man. Oh, man.
Gary Ablett Jr. is old. Tom Hawkins is old. Like, they didn't need another midfielder. I mean, Gary Ablett is a very good player. Like,
they're not
going to
put him up full forward?
I don't know if... But, like, you put him at full forward and you've got some, like, and you put Michael Hurley on him. What's going to happen?
Absolutely dominate
Michael. Saying that one to you. But, you know what I mean? Like, I don't understand. The only person who I've said has been, like, he's a 34-year-old with a hamstring injury was this morning Mick Malthouse said it on 774.
Mm.
Which I quickly listened to before I tuned in to Get Serial, obviously.
Sounds like you're more favourable with Mick than
Yeah, Mickey,
Joey.
Me and yeah. Mick Malthouse
you and Mick,
have a lot more in common than I'd like to admit. Yeah. But, like, obviously, Gary Ablett, very good player. But
yeah.
I don't understand how people are rating Geelong to do so well when consistently they have choked in finals, and having Gary Ablett back does not address any of those problems.
Correct.
If I could take the microphone out of its holder and throw it on the ground, I would, but I can't because this is expensive equipment.
That's very, very true.
Sin is volunteer-run. If you can donate any money so we can get microphones that I can drop onto the ground, it would be very appreciated.
We do appreciate it. Joey Montagna, we've aimed that one at you particularly. Now, the 2018 Coleman Medal, of course, you said Tom Hawkins, spoiler alert, was in that category. He only got one vote alongside Joe Danaher and Charlie Dixon. 12 votes, of course, goes to Lance Buddy Franklin, who is looking like the absolute goods. Played most of his preseason games as well, so he's going to be red hot. And Josh J. Kennedy looks like he got 3 votes from the captains as well. And who do you think will win the 2018 NAB AFL Rising Star? Good question. Pretty much everyone in this category are top 4 draft picks from this season. Paddy Dowell from Carlton, kind of looking like the Dumb and Dumber guys with the chip on the tooth. Nah. He'll be known for that pretty well when he goes up and collects his award. He got 4 votes. Luke Davies, now, can you help me pronounce
this? Uniaki.
Uniaki, that's it.
LDU.
Oh, Uniaki. Uniaki, that's right. So
just
Uniaki,
call him LDU.
LDU. There we go. LDU looks like he's going to get 3. Andrew Brayshaw from Fremantle and Cam Raider, number 1 draft pick from Brisbane, also from my school pegs, got 2 votes from the captains. Aidan Bonner and a lot of other players on that list also got 1. So
including Western Bulldogs future superstar Aaron Norton.
Aaron Norton looking very, very good as well. Norton. Anyway, it's a British name. Anyway, cool. We're going to get to a song before we wrap things up. When we come back, we're going to have a little update as well on Aaron Francis' health. I may as well just quickly mention it. He's doing a bit of basketball coaching now, which is great. Of course, Aaron Francis had to take some leave from Essendon, but our best wishes go out to him. Little bit homesick from South Australia. He is contracted until 2019. We hope he can get back to his best, or at least just back to enjoying footy again. But it's good to hear that he's doing some part-time work, doing a bit of basketball coaching as well. So good on Aaron Francis from the Dons, one of my favourite players. Great beard, great hair. Good on him.
Go.
When we get back, we're going to be talking about some Commonwealth Games, talking about the NBL Grand Final, wrapping things up here very, very soon. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Sports Desk on Sin 90.7. You are joined by Michael and Neve on a beautiful Friday morning outside. Top of 25 degrees today, so it's going to be a lovely day indeed. Perfect for sport, perfect for enjoying sport, and just perfect for being around, up and about. Neve.
Yeah.
How exciting.
Pretty exciting.
Pretty exciting.
Can't wait. We'll wrap this up because we want to get out and enjoy
the beautiful
that sun.
25 degree top. Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, we can't be doing that. We're going to quickly move to the cricket because, quite controversially, Cassio Rabada has been named the world's best test bowler according to the Test Bowling ICC rankings. He's on a whopping 902 points after his outstanding 11 for 153 against our lovely Australian cricket team.
I think we played a part in that.
I'm so proud to know that our players were involved in giving him that kind of test title. He leads some of the best bowlers in the world, Jimmy Anderson. Probably a relief that he's actually on top of Jimmy Anderson because I don't really like Jimmy Anderson too much. But that's just me. That's just me. Ravindra Jadeja from India as well, and Ravi Ashwin are on that list. And then Josh Hazlewood's number five. Not too bad from Joshy.
Yeah,
number
top five.
He's happy with that. But Cassio Rabada is, of course, out for the last two tests of the series because he has been banned from bumping into Steve Smith. Didn't look too malice, but, you know, you can't do that with players. You can't infringe when they're walking off. And he has been on knife's edge a few times with a couple of his passionate celebrations. So, look, you don't want to see the best players out, but if you're the Australian cricket team, you certainly do. And if you're an Australian supporter, you certainly do.
Exactly. No, this test has been quite fiery. There's
very
been a lot
fiery.
A few lip readings we've been having to do, see what the players are getting at. But I don't know, not to call me old-fashioned, but play cricket.
Just play cricket. Just
especially,
get back to
the basics. The actual, especially test cricket, it's so, pace.
Yeah,
very
that's
slowly
right.
paced and very, very, and then to see them swearing at each other and having go at each other and stuff, trying
it's
to bump
incredible.
Into each other.
It's like you couldn't do that within the 6 or 7 hours that you were out in the middle at all. You know,
just whisper it from outfield, being like, "Hey."
Well, apparently they were calling Cassio Rabada Braveheart when he came out to bat at the end of the day after he had bowled all day. They're like, "Oh, look at you. You're coming out to bat. This is the kind of pat on the back you get for, taking all of our wickets and all this kind of stuff."
Right.
So he was just laughing along going, yeah, I'm pretty good, aren't I? Good on him. Also in the cricket, there's been a ODI win for the Aussie women's. A fine all-round performance from Elise Perry has helped Australia wrap up its one-day international series against India. The visitors took a 2-0 lead in the three-match series, beating India last night by 60 runs. Opener Nicole Bolton, 84 from 88 deliveries, and Perry, 70 from 70. Run a ball, very, very nice. With a fulcrum of the Australian innings as they amassed a strong 9 for 287. And although India started off very, very strongly, none for 88, they capitulated in the remaining overs, not being able to chase down all of the runs. The third match is on Sunday ahead of a T20 tri-series, including England. So I tell you what, the cricket are loving the tri-series at the moment, aren't they?
I know, right?
It's very, very, very cool.
Getting everyone involved.
And that is almost all we've got time for. Now, Melbourne United versus Adelaide 36ers in the NBL Grand Final. There's going to be 5 games. Starting on Friday, March the 16th, which is surprisingly today. There you go. And depending on how all the results go, March the 23rd will be game 3, and then game 4 and 5, if required, will happen in Adelaide. And of course, the schedule, the way it works is it goes Melbourne, Adelaide, Melbourne. And if game 4 and 5 are needed, those venues will be decided later on. So all of those games can be found live on Fox Sports 503. So definitely tune into that. Season at a knife edge. Go the Melbourne United.
Very nice.
And that is all we've got time for, Neve.
Aww.
It's been an absolute pleasure today. Always very, very joyous occasion coming on the Sports Desk on Sin 90.7. Well, stay tuned for Schools on Air. Very, very exciting cast in today. And we're looking forward to the sports on the weekend. Hopefully the Doggies and the GWS Giants can keep the Great Western rivalry alive.
Oh,
there you
God,
go.
It's a good rivalry.
I'm so excited. It's going to be a great weekend. Have a great weekend, all of our lovely listeners out there. And you've been listening to the Sports Desk on Sin 90.7.